Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. It's episode 154. No Al this week, but I am joined by Anton.
Hello, Mike. How have you been doing? Have you been managing to find time for plenty of gaming this week?
Oh, it's so frustrating at the moment because I'm so in the mood to start a proper big adventure. Like, I want a proper RPG. I don't know if it's going to be a Western one, if it's going to be a JRPG. I don't know if it's going to be, I don't know, probably Kirby first, but I've just had so little time. So I did play a bit of Mario Kart this week, which was fun. I've really enjoyed the new courses. I've been playing a bit of that. That's been really good. And a little bit more on the second Trivial Pursuit game. And that's about it. I've had very, very little time, but I am determined this week to make some time to try and play. What about yourself?
And I think that time should be allocated toward Kirby in the Forgotten Land.
Finished
it last week, and then this week doing it co-op with Louise has been going through and I guess getting those last little bits. So saved all the wallabies, going ahead and doing some additional content that I shan't spoil, but overall picking the last final bits off of that bone, having tons of fun, and it's inspired me. I've went back and I'm doing Kirby. I've got the Japanese one, so I don't know what it is. All I know is it's Kirby on the Game Boy. Wow. Playing that, loving that. I do have a pink Game Boy Pocket, so it's meant to be.
That's awesome. A bit of retro gaming. I mean, the first thing you spotted when we came on tonight was that I have a box for a Spectrum and a Mega Drive 2 in the background. It's because I'm doing a bit of a clear out, which you sort of spotted straight away.
Oh, you know, I spot good taste when I see it. What can I say?
Absolutely. Just a quick reminder before we do get started, I want to remind you about the website. It's nsukp.co.uk/support-us if you want to find out more about the Patreon tiers and what you will get if you sign up to one of those tiers. The best one to get is the N64 tier. That gets you everything. Loads of extra podcasts, loads of extra content. You will eventually become a member of the Mug Club after 6 months as well. And just generally, you'll be in great company. But we've also got some great reviews up on the YouTube page, Anton.
Indeed. And yeah, just to have a final note there on the Patreon stuff before moving on. As you can tell, we don't have Alistair. He's on a short holiday and we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. But we do have the new Mug Club coming up, which will be very exciting. And, if you're not in the know, get to know nsukp.co/support-us. And as you so gracefully mentioned, we do have new content always going out on the YouTube. This week we have a review by Emily and it is of Royal Frontiers. It's a kind of new up-and-coming RPG. I believe it came out last week, so getting the early scoop in on that game, it looks interesting. I'm kind of glad to learn more about it. I'm not too sure if I'm going to pick it up, but there's some intriguing elements in there, Mike.
Yeah, and it's well worth checking out as well because there are several other reviews and sometimes they're not necessarily the games you might expect us to review, but we have a great team there with Louise and Emily, and I think Al's done a couple, and I think I've done maybe one or two. Anton's done... Have you done one, Anton? You haven't done one.
I've done none. I'm like...
Shied away from it.
Yeah, purely editing and facilitating, letting the true gamers do their magic.
Well, it's a very important job, to be fair. And with that, I think we should move on to this week's news.
Tell us, the people want to know.
East Asia Soft have announced Seven Pirates H for the Nintendo Switch. Now, it's a traditional RPG focused on exploration and discovery with a gigantic dose of fan service thrown in. That's maybe a slight understatement, Anton.
Yeah, very, very careful choice of words. And my God, you know, we have some of these RPGs that are very, very explicit. This has been the most shameless of them all. It is purely you get XP, your breasts get larger. It is shameless, disgusting. Not for me, I shall say.
It's actually a game that people who have reviewed it and have actually said it's actually not that bad a game whether or not you take the fan service or not. But yeah, it seems, I don't know, it seems a bit much. But you know, I guess there's an audience out there, otherwise it wouldn't necessarily be coming to the West.
Yeah, you know, I believe it was formerly a PlayStation Vita game that has kind of gotten rebranded. So it's nice in that regard that it's getting to, you know, be free of the shackles of the limitation of the PlayStation Vita, making its way onto a new console. I know we've commonly compared the Switch to, you know, carry on the legacy that the PlayStation Vita was playing with, and yet another game makes a transition.
Yeah. Well, we'll move on to the next one. That one does come out on the 12th of May, by the way, if you are interested. Next up, Roka Play have announced Spells and Secrets, Harry Potter and the Chamber of... No, I'm joking. Just Spells and Secrets for the Nintendo Switch. It's a 3D action-adventure game. It's coming out in 2023. We know that we're getting the new Hogwarts game, but this one is slightly different. It's much more animated, much more your kind of... old school in terms of the presentation, but I don't know, I quite like the look of this one, I gotta say.
Yeah, to be honest, although I think some people could maybe knock it for being a, you know, for how blatant it is in borrowing from its source material, overall I think it's a fairly solid, well put together game. The enemies of this world are somewhat Pokemon like and yeah, it's just filled with a good lick of charm and light and all things. It doesn't go to the Wizarding World bank account. So that's one nice thing for certain people.
Absolutely. And if you want to support a different Wizarding game, then this might be the one for you. It is coming out in 2023 and definitely want to keep an eye on. It looks quite good. It is a Kickstarter as well. So there are there is a way to back it on Kickstarter if you want to get involved early. Then that's maybe the way to do it. Also, Nintendo this week announced Mario Golf for the Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack coming out on the 15th of April. This is kind of cool. I suppose the one caveat is that we just got a Mario Golf game, so maybe because of that, the shine is taken off of this classic because we have a new one on the Switch. However, it is still a great game, and I think it's a worthy addition.
Absolutely. And, you know, although we have criticized Nintendo in some ways for the value the expansion pack offers, overall, I've got to say they've gotten a lot better at bringing out games regularly. And, you know, I think, like many people, when they did this expansion pack, I thought it would be like similar to the old, you know, Super Nintendo NES stuff. You know, you wait a couple months and then you get some older titles that are not so beloved. Nintendo has been really good at just consistently dropping these A-tier Nintendo 64 titles. We'd love to see some more Mega Drive stuff because they've been doing a good job so far.
Yeah, they have. There's a lot of Mega Drive stuff I would like to see, you're right. And I think for me there's a lack of variety on the Mega Drive side, I think is probably the best way of putting it. But I think there's some great stuff in there. But yes, this is a great addition. I think this is a really welcome one and it's out in a few days, so that's great as well. Outright Games have announced Star Trek Prodigy Supernova for the Nintendo Switch. You follow the intergalactic adventure of six alien teenagers aboard an abandoned Federation starship, no date. Now, this, in theory, should be really exciting for me because I absolutely love Star Trek games, but I have a slight worry about Outright Games being the ones at the helm of this. I'm just concerned that this is going to be a damp squib.
Yeah, you know, admittedly, they haven't shown very much, but the team behind it, you know, their best game, legit, not joking, is My Friend Peppa Pig, which is not got very much game in there. It's a very, very good episode of Peppa Pig, if that's what you're into, but the gaming aspect of that title lacks. So going on to a Star Trek game based on the child spin-off of it, I don't know. I think there's a room for this to be a little bit closer to some of their Ben 10 like titles, a little bit zany and just, you know, cool power-ups here and there.
Yeah, well, it is based on Prodigy, which is the animated one sort of more aimed at kids, which I haven't seen yet, but there's so much Star Trek content on TV at the moment, it's very hard to keep up, and a lot of it is on Paramount Plus or in America at the moment, so I haven't seen a lot of it. But yeah, I mean, look, there's some cool things in this. You've got Janeway from Voyager, that's obviously very cool, and yeah, I mean, it could be good. I just have this horrible feeling that it's not going to be, but we will see. I really hope I'm proved wrong because it would be great to have a good Star Trek game, even if it is more aimed at kids. Uno is getting a Valhalla DLC, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, you know, it has a very wacky trailer. It is technically borrowing the assets from Assassin's Creed Valhalla, but seemingly is just kind of embracing it as just general Viking Norse mythology, etc., etc. It looks super dumb, super fun, and I'm excited to see Uno get more content because the Switch port of it is actually really good.
Yes, I've heard good things about it, and I actually have almost bought it on several occasions. It's been out for a long time now, but never actually did. I think at the one point, I think there was very few games on the eShop. Uno was one of them. I think I was at the point where I was considering it. But nevertheless, great to see some DLC on games anyway. Do you have Uno on the Switch?
I don't. Sadly, I am stuck by my Xbox 360 version. You know, it's on every Xbox 360 known to man, so no doubts that I will lack Uno in my life.
Reggie Fils-Aimé will be voicing his own audiobook, Disrupting the Game. I bet you that will be a good listen, Anton.
Indeed. I am so very, very delighted by this. This was a book that I believe it got announced, God, maybe like 50 episodes back, and I just pre-ordered the audiobook instinctively. And the fact it's getting voiced by Reggie, so excited. I'm kind of interested to hear how he speaks, because even when he was doing interviews, he kind of had a stage-like presenting tone to his voice. So I'm kind of curious to see if that kind of softens up a little in a longer form text.
Yeah, I mean, I think the stories that he will have in there will be great. It'll be a really good listen. I love audiobooks. I listen to them quite regularly. I read as well and love audiobooks. So this definitely sounds like one that could be a really, really good one to check out for any Nintendo fan or anyone that just is interested in his sort of crazy career. The Marufukuro Hotel opens in Nintendo's former headquarters and pays tribute to its Nintendo heritage. What did it do, Anton?
Yeah, so this is based in the headquarters they would have had pre-video gaming. Maybe as the, you know, they were starting up early video games, so, you know, like their Pong machines and stuff like that. And yeah, it is a hotel. They have tons of notes of the Nintendo heritage, just outlining what certain parts of the building are. They have a full library detailing all of the stuff Nintendo's done, not just their video games, going back to the playing cards and going back to, you know, them running taxi companies and all of the little miscellaneous parts of Nintendo's long, long history. And yeah, it just looks like quite a gorgeous building. It's $700 a night, which... Wow. It's a lot.
It is a lot of money, but if you've got the money, I guess. But yeah, that's it's nice that they've acknowledged that history, because it's obviously inherent in the building. It's a big part of it, so definitely a cool thing for them to have thought about. And Nintendo have seemingly sent retailers such as Amazon and Base a final wave of physical 3DS games, which come in slightly thinner cases, and it seems to be less common titles that are getting reprinted. Interesting one, this one, and there's still quite a big community for the 3DS, and the thinner case thing is interesting. I've never liked it when I've had a console and I've been a collector and they've changed the cases near the end of its life cycle. A Mega Drive, for example, went through a huge sort of rebrand. Oh, yeah. As I'm sure you know, and there's something about the lack of uniformity that annoys me.
Yeah, thankfully it's not too drastic. Basically, they've only sent out final shipments within of the PAL region, and they're borrowing the cases that would have been used for Japanese titles, which are maybe like the thickness of a pound smaller, not the hugest amount. And yeah, it's kind of a fun move here, where historically when manufacturers announce that they're discontinuing a platform, it is very much a kind of putting up the flag of, the shipments that are out there in the wild are the last ones out there. Go looking. But clearly Nintendo has seen that there is still money to be made using up the last of the stock of cases and cartridges that they have. And it's also been kind of bizarre to see some of the titles that they've chosen, clearly taking ones that people are so happy to pay £40 for, because on the black market, it's selling for £80-£90. It's very big brain moves by Nintendo here. I love to see it, as well as that, getting great games like Persona Q2 reprinted and more accessible. Love to see it, even if it is in slightly thinner cases, sadly.
It is quite cool. I mean, that's interesting you mentioned Persona being one of the games. I mean, it might be the only way I get to play Persona, so I might have to go down that route. But it is. I mean, overall, I think it's great that we're still getting any 3DS physical games. I think the 3DS is fantastic handheld. But yeah, it's certainly interesting and good to clarify exactly what the thinner cases mean. Preloaded copies of Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp have been downloaded before the delay went live on the original release date. So, in other words, just before they delayed it, a couple of people did manage to get hold of it.
Indeed, and did it completely legally and through fault of Nintendo, so they can't actually get their content taken down. But I have to give it to the few people that do have access to Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp. They have been very respectful. They've basically been on Twitter and they've shown like one or two screenshots saying that they've got it. However, been like, yeah, I don't want to spoil it for you. As you know, this is a game I've been excited for, clearly, as they were the first people to preload these titles.
Yeah.
And leaving it a fresh experience for the rest of us, because there's been countless examples throughout the last decade even of games getting leaked early and just getting dissolved online. Yeah. If it's not through Let's Plays and gameplay getting shared and the story getting leaked, it's like full-on ROM dumps of the titles getting out there. This has been fairly respectful on the gamer side, and I'm glad Nintendo hasn't been going on a DMCA banhammer with them.
Yeah, I mean, if they're Nintendo fans, they might well be aware of Nintendo's fondness of being quite hard-hitting when it comes to these situations. And I quite like the idea that they're not kind of ruining it for people, because I think it is exciting when you get a new game. It's great to know a little bit about it. I like seeing some screenshots and things, but I don't want to know too much.
Exactly. Admittedly, you know, if I got any Nintendo game early, I don't want my consoles bricked, so I would be playing it safe as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, it is time for our newest feature, which is where we round up a bunch of stories and then we talk about them. This is Turbo Mode.
You what?
Okay, so I'm going to go through some stories and we're going to have a chat about these. We've got a bit more time because this will be a shorter episode today, so we might end up just talking a bit more in depth about them. But let me run through them and then I'll come to Anton to get some thoughts. So, the 8-Bit Big Band has won a Grammy for Best Arrangement for a Kirby Song Cover. Boreal Tenebrae has been released. Yet another Wii U game, Pad of Time, is coming out on the 13th of April. Disney have announced The Jungle Book's Baloo for Disney Speedstorm. Two Point Campus has been delayed till the 9th of August. And Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes has been given some new screenshots. What's the ones you want to talk about there, Anton?
Firstly, I want to give congratulations to the 8-Bit Big Band. They're almost underselling themselves. When I saw the title of the group, I kind of expected, maybe like an 8-bit chiptune thing or maybe like a small band. Nah, it's like a full, you know, not full orchestra, but like a 20-piece orchestra. I felt it sounded great, and yeah, it's been quite fun exploring their back catalogue, so it's incredible to see them get recognised by established kind of industry representation. And then to, you know, what was good about that song is it then soothed my aching wounds of Two Point Campus being delayed. I am incredibly excited for it. Two Point Hospital last year, if not maybe the year before, was one of my most played games. I got absolutely hooked on that game. And yeah, Two Point Campus, a kind of new fresh spin on that with the learnings and skills they've built up from having developed the first Two Point Campus or Two Point Hospital. Excited to see where they take the franchise next.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that game is massively addictive. I mean, certainly my other half played it a lot and was a huge fan of it, as she was Theme Hospital. And that, of course, was the kind of origin story. It was very much a Theme Hospital for the 21st century. But this one does look good. I must admit, Two Point Campus is, I think, going to be really strong. The Wii U game, I'm assuming it's digital again, Anton?
Indeed, digital only. I think the last game we had physically would have been Hotline Miami in the US, or alternatively, we had the Shoot 'Em Up collection in Europe.
Baloo joining Speedstorm. I'm quite interested in this one. I'm still quite keen to see what this is going to be like, because I actually have a fairly good feeling that it's actually going to be a decent racer.
Yeah, I think this one will just purely come down to how aggressive they're wanting to be with their monetization, because the package they put together looks gorgeous. It has a wealth of characters, a wealth of courses, but overall just the polish is a league beyond anything else in the market. And even though gameplay wise I know it won't hold a torch to it, aesthetically it looks even a little bit cleaner than Mario Kart, or at least more advanced.
Absolutely. I mean, it's got a lot to it, and it's there for someone to give us a new spin on what Mario Kart has done. No one's quite managed it yet, but you never know. I mean, I remember the closest I remember it being was probably when the first of the Sonic racing games came out. That was a genuine contender at the time. Was it the Transformed ones? Was that the ones?
Sonic All-Star Racing was the first one.
That was the one that I thought was really close to being a true competitor. I think since then they've not been quite as good for one reason or another. For me anyway, I think there's rubber banding issues, which is, for those that don't know, when the computer catches up with you very easily, just no matter what happens in the race, there's a couple of those issues with some of them. But that one was very good. And I do think we are due some competition because, you know, Mario Kart, we're still playing that same Mario Kart.
Indeed. And let's be fair here. Whenever there has been a fair competitor to the Sonic All-Star Racing games, the two subsequent sequels in the form of Mario Kart 8 and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Mario Kart's won those battles, and in that case, loved that title. I felt like it was the best kart racer at the time. However, it was comparing, you know, a PS3 game to an aging Wii game, and maybe we've got the right circumstances for us to have another competitor where Mario Kart 8 is an aging title. New technology, fresher graphics, maybe that could give Disney Speedstorm, not saying it's going to be better, but, you know, be a good competitive title in its own right.
Yeah, and I think people are always hungry for a good kart racer. I think there's always, or a good racer in general, and I think this one could just give us something to think about. But as you say, monetization could be the thing. We shall see. Okay, let's talk about this week's rumours.
Now, I'm not normally one for gossip, but...
Now, we did mention today was going to be a lot shorter. It's probably going to be our shortest ever episode, but, you know, that's a combination of things. First of all, no quiz this week because we don't have Al, unless you've got questions ready for me, Anton.
I do not, sadly.
Which is fine. Of course, there's a lot less news this week as well. So it is a short one, but that's all right. Do you remember when we first started the podcast? We said, right, we'll keep every episode under 45 minutes. I think we've achieved that once.
Yeah, we're figuring out the balance set to make it a nice even length. We can either do seemingly 30 minutes or an hour.
Yeah,
there's no middle ground that would appear.
Nope, and I think this will be falling firmly into the 30-minute cap. So just one big rumor this week, and it's quite a good one because I want to talk about this a little bit more in depth as a game anyway, but it's LEGO Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. The rumor is that we might be getting a demo. And just as a general kind of thing on this game, I just want to talk about it briefly because I think the reviews have really kind of blown me away in terms of how good they've been. But particularly for the Switch, it seems like they've done a really good job of the Switch port, Anton.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, which is amazing to see because on the gameplay overview that they did, I think it was like a 7 to 10 minute overview, they showed exclusively next-gen footage. And to give it credit, it looked gorgeous, but it did not look like it was running on Switch.
But the great thing is, now that we've actually seen some reaction, people are playing it, it seems that, you know, we've managed on the Switch to get something which is not far off. I mean, yes, there'll be, you know, lighting effects that are not there, and there'll be certain things that aren't quite as as slick visually, but you know, that game, the reviews are good. It seems solid. I'm glad that they've given us this kind of game on this scope. And I think a demo is a really sensible way for them to get people hooked, because it's a massive game. And if they were to make it so that you could continue on your game after playing the demo, I think they'll get a lot of people that are maybe on the fence about this.
Yeah, I think the one question would be for the demo is, what movie do you start people with? Or do you give people like a level from each of the movies? It's a massive Goliath of a game. I've been watching my roommates play it, and it's just so, it's amazing, you know. It's not just a open world, it's just, it just strings you around and just chucks you into all of these different open worlds. It's huge. So I'm curious to see which slice of that massive cake they offer up for a demo.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that job, actually, because I guess you've got to show off the best of it, but the best of it is across the whole thing. So it's very difficult to, you know, to do that without kind of giving you a taste of everything, I guess. But nevertheless, the demo is the rumor. I really hope that does happen. I'd be very, very happy about that. Just one other rumor that I did hear is that there may be a direct around about the next one was rumored to be June. Now, do we think that's sensible? Do you think we're going to be waiting until June, or do you think we'll see one before? Just as a thought, Anton.
I think June's pretty fair. I think there's been maybe one or two directs in April, but I cannot recall a direct ever being in May. So June is a common month. We've had a couple in June, and it would be a nice one for them kind of putting out, you know, both their holiday and, or rather, summer and holiday slate. Quite often, I feel like at least the last 2 years, Nintendo's kind of came out and been like, this is our next 6 months, you know, the money-making 6 months. The question is, I'm going to throw this out here, we're getting quite deep into the new year. Do you think we could start to see things about a new Switch hardware revision?
I think there will be one more revision. Yes, I do. And I think there's been some developments in terms of them sort of allowing developers to do more with the hardware, which I think is really exciting. And I think that's where we're going to see, I think we're going to see the next iteration of the Switch opening things up. So it's still the same Switch, but it's capable of perhaps outputting a higher resolution, or maybe it can do 4K or something like that. I'm not sure that we'll get the next console anytime soon, but I think there might be a revision. I think the OLED's gone well. I think the OLED light is a good shout as well. I could see that being a thing, because I think the light's done really well. But I do see us having, maybe it could be three tiers. You've got your OLED, you've got the light OLED, and then you've got the Pro OLED, which might be the 4K version. That's kind of where I'm thinking.
Yeah, for myself, I think we're maybe a little bit away from a Pro. I think a Switch Lite OLED is a really good shout. However, I do have a feeling we're due some form of hardware. Like, even within like that gap between the Switch Lite and the Switch, or, you know, the gap between the Switch Lite and the Switch OLED, you know, there is incremental things getting dropped out. You know, we're getting, you know, docks for your Joy-Cons. We were getting the Ring-Con. We were getting Nintendo Labo. There's always been like little side pieces of hardware getting dropped. It's been a while since we've had anything like that. I guess the closest thing we had was the N64 controller.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we could maybe see some form of other accessory, even if it was like a dock or, you know, something to mix up. It's just been a very quiet hardware time for Nintendo, even outside of the large console releases.
I wonder what it would be. I mean, that is the question, because they've done so much with the Switch already. I wonder what they would do next that would be a significant thing that would be, that's interesting. We want to see that. You know, they did the Mario Kart, for example, the track.
Exactly.
You know, that was very interesting. Whether you loved it or hated it, it was different. So maybe we're going to see something like that kind of interactive kind of nature.
Yeah, you know, the one I've always dreamed of would be Pro Joy-Cons. You know, people, like, I believe in the Switch survey, like, a good 60% of people had a Pro controller, and many, many more people were upset that their Joy-Cons didn't work. Maybe that could be something. you know, there's a lot of possibilities. And your Switch, especially as a hardware format, has so many different opportunities for accessories, which surprisingly Nintendo hasn't taken the largest advantage of.
I wonder as well, I've always thought with Ring Fit, I think Ring Fit is actually really good. And I think that ring, there are so many other uses that they could do with that. And I wonder, again, could they come up with some more software, but that's interactive with Ring Fit accessory, so that they can, you know, because a lot of people have Ring Fit, but once you've done Ring Fit, you might not necessarily use that. It might just sit kind of gathering dust. But if you've got something else that works with it, then suddenly it gives it a new lease of life.
You know, I've been seeing people using the CMMU emulator on the upcoming, or I guess not upcoming, now Steam Deck to do dual screen gaming. And I've been recalling how magical that used to be on the Wii U. That would be great to see a way of getting dual screen gaming back. Use your Switch as a tablet, use the multiple screens, bring back Mario Maker 2 with a vengeance.
I wonder if they'll ever do a Switch. They've obviously got the handheld only Switch. I wonder if they'll do a TV only Switch, like a screen only. So there's no handheld element to it, but it's just, you know, I mean, Switch would be a very misleading name for it, but then it is for the handheld, because you don't switch it. You know, for Switch Lite, you don't plug it in.
Exactly.
So they could do it.
You know, we do live in a world where they made a PlayStation TV out of a PlayStation Vita, so the theory and logic is there in place, especially if they could make it especially affordable, just really undercut the, you know, for instance, the Xbox Series S. You know, if they had a console 150, you know, it really makes that, you know, what does look like a really good deal right now, especially if you just wanted somebody, let's say you want to play Fortnite on your TV. It's like, okay, do I go for like this £200 handheld that won't run at the best, or do I go for this £250 one that can play gorgeously? But if Nintendo had an offering at 150, wow, there would be no question, especially if they could then maybe get some of those streaming apps in there. 150, it would be an affordable streaming box.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. We're missing streaming, obviously. I think that's a big thing. Streaming services, which we've talked about in the past, Netflix and the like. And I think that would be good to see more of those. I know it's not for everyone. I know Al doesn't care. I think it would be helpful. But definitely we're missing that. I wonder if they could combine. Here's my last dream kind of, because one of the best ever consoles was the Panasonic. Was it the
Panasonic Cube?
Yeah, was it a GameCube that they combined with it, or was it a Dreamcast?
Indeed, it was a Japanese only Nintendo GameCube that had a built-in DVD player, and yeah, it was gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm wondering, could we ever see? I mean, those days are kind of gone because it's just an era thing. I don't think we see these kind of hybrids so much now. So, but what if we had, like, just imagine it, you know, a built-in Switch into some sort of screen, but it's not the mini one, it's like a bigger one, so that it's like all in one for your child's bedroom, for example. Maybe that's their, you know, back to the days of maybe like a 20-inch screen or something, or I don't know. I would love to see something wacky like that, but it's not going to happen, but I would love it.
Oh, God, even looking back at Nintendo's heritage within of the past, I guess, 15 years, an XL, classic Nintendo move. All they just need to do is put a bigger screen on it, especially having been watching all of these reviews of the Steam Deck. There's a lot of people, kind of rationale that I'm seeing, that a lot of people play handheld but in their house.
Yeah.
You know, they play it in the couch, they play it lying in bed, they play it out in the garden. Put a bigger screen on it. Maybe that's where I get my Pro Joy-Cons. Who knows?
Well, here's the thing. Here's a thought. Pro controller combined with a bigger screen that's light enough that you can play it. So it's, you know, it's an all-in-one with a Pro controller, but it's for one player. What do you think?
I'd love it. You know, be like, rather than 720p, it's 1080p. You get the full TV experience, but handheld, I would love it. I would be, well, not first in line, but I would try and get in line.
Yeah, I would as well. I mean, it's all pie in the sky, but it's fun to think about and to talk about. I do think there will be something. I agree with you. I think that we'll see a change or an update or something at some point, but probably not the Pro anytime soon, I don't think. But we shall see. That's about it from us. Just a quick reminder again, nsukp.co.uk/support-us to find out how you can become a Patreon supporter. Oh, we did have one review, actually, just before we go. And I completely forgot about it because this came in our American reviews. So I don't always see the US-based reviews because I log into the UK Apple Podcasts store to see them. So thank you so much for our review from, I'm just going to say, the Boxhead via Apple Podcasts in the US. Really appreciate this. It says, US-based listener here, Mike, Alistair and Anton put on a light-hearted and fun Nintendo Switch-based podcast. This is one of my favourites. I especially like it when Alistair gets a bit grumpy. 5 out of 5. Keep it up, guys. Much appreciated. I love the fact that Al's got a good review for being grumpy, because he was very upset about the one really bad review that we won. It wasn't really bad. It was just the person didn't like Al being grumpy. So this has kind of evened it out a bit.
Oh, I think Alistair relished and getting dismayed for his grumpiness. I think it's something he holds near and dear to his heart. So I think compliments and insults to his grumpiness really keep him alive. I think it's almost threatening.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, after being away for 2 weeks, I'm sure we can ramp it up a bit when it comes to the insults when he returns.
He'll be grumpier than ever. It'll be awful.
That is about it. Once again, a huge thanks to you for listening to the podcast. Really appreciate it. And we will be back with another episode in a week's time. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Au revoir.